Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears live and coming at you here on this Wednesday, July the 7th, 2021. 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. And we have a great show for you this morning here on WWGH Radio. We have a big surprise coming up next hour. But before we get to that, we have a great guest on the program, and that could not be more timely. Last week, legendary comedian, entertainer, civil rights activist Bill Cosby was released from prison after nearly a three-year stay, his conviction overturned in the state of Pennsylvania. A gentleman who has been with him since day one of this whole incident and has come on this program and discussed why Mr. Cosby should not be in prison is here with us this morning to help sort all this out and hopefully answer any questions we have. He is Bill Cosby's spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt. Andrew, how you doing?
I am doing great, Scott, this morning. Thank you for having me on your show, and it's an honor to be here, especially, you know, with such great news and a great victory, and one of the greatest victories in the history of jurisprudence. So I'm just happy to be here this morning, and happy to talk to your listeners.
Andrew, I want to kind of take this from the very beginning so we can kind of understand what happened. Nearly 3 years ago, what was Mr. Cosby sentenced to prison for?
He was sentenced to prison for indecent aggravated assault. Three counts of indecent aggravated assault. And that carried 3 to 10 years, meaning that he could be up for parole in 3 years. And because he was sentenced to 3 years, he was found guilty of three counts of indecent aggravated assault. He had to take sexually violent predator courses, and that's the only way he would have been eligible for parole.
Mm. Now, Mr. Cosby came up for parole a few months ago and was not granted parole because he would not apologize or admit to the crimes. Is that correct, Andrew?
What happened, every day this year, someone from the parole board would show up at the prison almost weekly trying to get Mr. Cosby to sign a paper saying that he will eventually take the sexual violent predator courses. Mr. Cosby refused to sign the papers. Now, there were no courses that he could take even if he wanted to take them, although he wasn't, because of the pandemic. All classes, all events, all gatherings at the prison were canceled almost permanently. So prison parole board members came and said, look, just sign the sheet if you want to be considered for parole. Mr. Cosby said to them, look, being on parole is meaning that you're never free. And you're saying that you're guilty of the crime. I'm not signing the sheet. I don't want to go to those courses. I will not be going, and I do not want parole. So he denied himself parole.
When Mr. Cosby was released last week, what are the events that led to that?
Well, Scott, obviously, the week prior, if you remember first, we had oral arguments with the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court on Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Jennifer Bungie and our appellate attorney did a great oral argument. It was live on YouTube, and you could see that the justices, just by the demeanor, the tone, that they were pretty much on our side. And the grilling that they gave the DA, the prosecution, it was unbelievable. So we had 150 days to hear their opinion from Tuesday, December 1st. Well, the 150 days got was up almost a month and 2 weeks ago. So we were just on standby because they could have done either two things. Vacate his conviction, saying he had immunity and he should have never been charged, or they could have warranted him a new trial. So we're waiting and waiting. Well, the week prior, I get a call from a guy named Nick the Hat. Now, Nick has a media organization that he started. He's around 26 years old. He started this media organization, him and a group of friends, called YC News, Young Content News. Well, Nick calls me because he has an inside source within the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. And he tells me, look, I think you should get to Philadelphia. They're going to release Mr. Cosby on next week. I said, look, Nick, I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't want to go to Philly sitting there waiting and nothing happens. He said, look, my source is very reliable. So I get Debbie Meister on the phone. She works out of the California office for Mr. Cosby, out of his California office. And I get Keo Wilson on the phone. We have those, all of our social media. She's out of North Carolina. And they said, Andrew, I think you should go. Now, this is on a Thursday. So I booked my flight, and I decide to go to Philly. So I get into Philadelphia on Tuesday of last week. Well, when I arrived in Philadelphia that morning, around 1 p.m., I get a call from Nick. You're not going to believe this. Something is about to happen. Kevin Steele, the district attorney, fined Mr. Cosby $1,005 and Mrs. Cosby $1,005 for not cutting their grass at their Elkins Park property. I thought Nick was bluffing. I said, are you joking? I said, you mean to tell me a district attorney has the time to drive around and inspect people's lawns? He said, I'm telling you it's true. So I called Mrs. Cosby after hanging up with Nick, and I said, Mrs. Cosby, Nick just called me and stated that Steele has fined you and Mr. Cosby $1,005 each for not cutting your grass. She said, are you serious? I said, I promise you, that's what he called and told me. So we get our attorney, Jennifer Bungeen, on the phone, and she said, Andrew, just check it out. So I checked it out. I called the district court in Jenkintown, PA, and they told me it was true that they had been fined that amount of money. So I called Mrs. Cosby back and Attorney Bungeen. I said, look, it is true. I said, I tell you what, Mrs. Cosby, I'm told that the reason why Steele has put this fine in place, in case the opinion comes down from the justices, if you're an inmate and you're going to be considered to be released, you will not be released if you have any fines against your name. So it would delay his release. So I told Mrs. Cosby, I said, look, I'm going to just pay the fine. I will go to the bank. I will get a cashier's check in the morning on Wednesday morning, and I will get a cashier's check for $2,010 and pay the fine. She said, wait, what do you mean? Are you in Philadelphia? I said, yes. She said, why are you in Philly? I said, I had some business to attend to. She's like, oh. So Wednesday comes. I go to the bank. I get a cashier's check done for $2,010. I get an Uber. I'm in the Uber on my way to Jenkintown to pay this fine. I'm literally 5 minutes from the court, and Nick calls me screaming, you're not going to believe this. I told you. They just vacated his entire conviction. Get to the prison. I was like, whoa, what are you talking about, Nick? Are you serious? I promise you, they vacated his entire conviction. So I hung up from him. I called Mrs. Cosby. I'm telling her she doesn't believe me. She said, no, we can't believe Nick. We can't believe this. I think he's wrong. I said, I tell you what, Mrs. Cosby. Now, I'm in the Uber, and the guy who's driving me, his name is Ramon. He's Hispanic, and he realizes who I am, so he's trying to take pictures. And I said, look, just drive. And I get Mrs. Cosby on the phone, and she's telling me, look, get the attorney, Brian Perry, our criminal attorney out of Harrisburg, in the capital of Pennsylvania. Get him on the phone and find out if this is true. So I get Brian on the phone with Mrs. Cosby, and he said, look, Andrew, I don't think this is true. I'm telling you, it's not true. I haven't heard anything. I said, Brian, just check. So he walks out of his office, goes to his assistant's office. He said, check and see if there's an order from the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court regarding Mr. Cosby. She said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. They just vacated the entire conviction. He said, what? Andrew, you're right. So Mrs. Cosby said, are you serious? So I said, look, I'm going to hang up this phone. I'm going to head to the house now, Mrs. Cosby, and get one of the cars. So I give the Uber driver $100. I said, here, take me to 8210 New 2nd Street. I showed him how to get to the house. I get to the gate. Miss Atkins, their longtime housekeeper, who's been with them for over 30 years, she was supposed to be off that day. She said, something just told me to come in and do some cleaning in the guest house. I just decided to come in and do it today. I said, look, they're letting Mr. Cosby out. She said, are you serious, Mr. Wyatt? I said, Miss Atkins, they're letting him out. I am taking your car. Give me the keys to your car now. So I commandeer her car, and I get on the interstate driving almost 110 miles per hour, and I get to the prison. And when I get to the prison, helicopters are everywhere, at least 2 to 3 helicopters. And news media is everywhere. So when I get to the gate, the officers, there's white female and black female, they recognize me. They said, get to the prison now. So I drive to the prison. They said, just park in front and go inside. I go inside, and the officers who work at the prison are not allowed to have any contact with visitors. The only contact they can have is getting your ID, processing you for your visit. These officers, Scott, literally ran from behind the desk, hugging me, crying, saying, you did it. You did it. So there's a Lieutenant Spivey. She tells me, she said, look, go get in your car. Follow me as I'm walking. He is going to be getting out in the next 10 minutes. So I'm following her in the car as she's walking. She gets me to the back of the prison. And I get out the car. She says, just stay here by this door. She hugs me and said, congratulations, you did it. So a number of officers are out there, correctional officers, along with some trustees. They're cheering. Helicopters are getting shots. And the major of the prison walks out. She shakes my hand with the warning. And they said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to park you in the bottom of the garage area of the prison. We're going to park you in the garage and get you out of this sun and get Mr. Cosby in the car. So I'm parking the car in the garage. They let the gate down. And I'm waiting in this garage. And I see 10 officers wheeling Mr. Cosby out in a wheelchair. Because he's 100% blind. So he can walk, but they did not want him bumping into things. Mr. Cosby hears my voice. And he says, Andrew the Great? Andrew the Great, I said, Mr. Cosby, yes, it's me. He said, look, friendship is essential to the soul. And we joked and laughed. And he said, look, guys, is this a dream? Because they woke him up out of his sleep. And he didn't know what was going on. He heard screaming when they opened his doors, inmates shouting, Bill, get out of here. Uncle Bill, get out of here. Godfather, get out of here. You're free. He didn't know what. He thought a fight or something was happening. So they get him to the car, and one of the officers lean in and say, Mr. Cosby, I'm the one that processed you into prison. I'm the one that's going to be processing you out. So he gets in the car. The major comes back to me and said, look, we have found several officers that's driving a white car, like you're driving a white car. They're going to serve as decoys. You're going to have two cars in front of you, get in the middle, two in the back. We're going to lead you to the interstate. They do that. Mr. Cosby's in the car. He said, Andrew, are you real? Is this a dream? I said, look, Mr. Cosby, it's not a dream. This is real. He said, oh, boy. Oh, boy. My heart is racing. I said, look, are you okay? He said, no, I'm not talking about a heart attack. I can't seem. He said, so you knew about this and you didn't tell, my attorneys didn't know, my wife, none of us. I said, Mr. Cosby, I did not want to say anything because I did not want to get people excited and get you on a roller coaster ride and it doesn't happen and you're disappointed. He said, wow, oh boy. He said, you know what? You will go down in history as one of the greatest civil rights icons for this fight that you've done for me. I said, look, I don't want that. I said, because our civil rights might not be their civil rights. I said, their civil rights might be to murder us, persecute us, and execute us. I said, look what they did to you. They stripped you of your constitutional rights. I said, it's about equal rights. And he shook my hand. So we get to the interstate helicopter. So we hear the helicopters as we're driving. He says to me, Andrew, who car are you in? I said, I'm in Miss Atkins' car. He said, oh, Lord, you're driving the white Subaru and OJ had the white Bronco. And he was telling jokes the whole time. And I get him to the house, and that's the story.
You know, it's an amazing story because it all seemed to come out of the blue for everybody. We knew that there had been appeals going on and there had been courtroom fights going on, but here it was. Now, it's my understanding that the reason that this happened was because when the trial happened, that there had been a prosecutor. Before the prosecutor that prosecuted Mr. Cosby in the trial, who had made a deal for Mr. Cosby to give a deposition. But the deal was that it could not be used against him, that there would not be a criminal prosecution. And then the new prosecutor came in who tried the trial that led to Mr. Cosby's incarceration, and those records were unsealed. So essentially, Mr. Cosby could not plead the Fifth at the trial because he'd already given a deposition and his words were being used against him. Is that correct?
You're absolutely correct. Bruce Castor, the former DA, gave Cosby a deal in 2005 because Andrea Constant gave five statements that were inconsistent to five different law enforcement agencies. Two law enforcement agencies in Canada and three law enforcement agencies in Montgomery County, PA. So Bruce Castor said, this woman's stories are not making any sense, the claims she's making against Mr. Cosby. So he forced Mr. Cosby into civil litigation, into civil court. Mr. Cosby sat for a civil deposition, waived his Fifth Amendment rights because they said whatever he said would not be used against him. He sat for 4 days. After waiving his Fifth Amendment rights, you know, he was very open and forthright in his deposition. people want to say that he admitted to drugging and raping women. No, he didn't. If you go to page 126 of the deposition, her attorney, Dolores Troiani, specifically asked Mr. Cosby, did you give women drugs without their consent? He said, no. She asked him, did you give women Quaaludes without their consent? He said, no. Did you ever have Quaaludes in your possession? He said, yes, in the 70s. They were called disco biscuits. The young people loved them. Now, keep in mind, around that era, Mr. Cosby was probably in his late 30s. He was young. He wasn't some old guy, the way the media wants to portray it. They asked him, did you give women Quaaludes when they requested? He said, yes. Those are his words. Also, the deposition was sealed. So the Associated Press, because of Gloria Allred, and now we understand why Gloria Allred was able to parade the women out, and they knew those key phrases to say, is because Dolores Troiani, Constance's attorney, had given Gloria Allred secretly, which was illegal, copies and excerpts from Mr. Cosby's deposition. That's why Gloria Allred had the script. That's how she was able to rehearse the women. That's why the women were coming out with the same story. Every woman had the same story. He drugged, raped me. He gave me a pill. He gave me a Quaalude because of what was said in that deposition.
Andrew, this is a big point to make because this is a big part of the confusion as this all went on last week. People were saying, a lot of people very happy that Mr. Cosby was out, but a lot of people also saying that he did drug women. Now, what you just said from the deposition is not the case. So in his own deposition, Bill Cosby never said that he gave a Quaalude to a woman or any type of drug to get to any kind of intercourse. Is that correct?
He specifically said, they asked him, did you give women any drugs without their consent? Unknown. He said, no. Did you ever give a woman a Quaalude when they asked you for one? Yes. They also deposed a woman who came out as one of the accusers, Teresa Saragonese. They said she was in a relationship with Mr. Cosby. They was having an affair. She states in her own words, I think it's on page 200 of her deposition, she said, I waited until he got through with his performance. I walked backstage and asked him, do you have any Quaaludes? He said, yes, he gave me one. So after I took it, we went out and we had sex, willingly. Her words, her deposition is right there too. But yet she has come out as one of the accusers. Mr. Cosby never admitted to drugging or raping women. And if you go back, we brought in a toxicologist, and you do the research on Quaaludes. Quaaludes do not make you lethargic. They do not turn you into almost a paraplegic. You do not lose consciousness. They were called disco biscuits. All of the entertainers had them in the 70s. That was a part of that culture. And that's what Mr. Cosby was talking about, the culture of the 70s in his deposition. Now, he was given immunity. And that's why this became the greatest win in jurisprudence history, because what these justices stated, and this is a win for all Americans, just not one group of Americans, because they stated that there are the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment are two essential tools within the Constitution to protect the powerless, whether rich or poor, from the powerful, who are the gatekeepers within the judicial system. You can't blame Mr. Cosby because the district attorney, Kevin Steele, Judge O'Neill, along with their many cohorts, they grossly abused Mr. Cosby's constitutional rights, and they stripped him of his due process. He was given a deal. He sat for a deposition that was sealed for in perpetuity. He was given a deal for in perpetuity. He also settled out of court for $3.2 million to never be charged. But Kevin Steele, the district attorney, ran a Willie Horton-style campaign ad because so many women had come out. Bruce Castor, the former DA, was running for his old seat again. The only way Castor could, Steele could beat Castor is by saying, if you elect me, in his campaign ad, I will bring Bill Cosby to justice.
It's an amazing story in how it has all happened. And you know, we've been here a part of this the entire time, and we've spoken a lot. What has Mr. Cosby's life been like since he's been home?
Well, when I got him home, he's 100% blind to the glaucoma. He said, Andrew, walk me around so I can learn the house. And he started remembering pretty quickly the layout of the home. And he went upstairs, laid down in his bed for a second. He got up and said, give me my Central High School t-shirt, his sweatpants, and he told Ms. Atkins, I want collard greens, salmon. And he said, Andrew, you're going to go downtown to Zio's. It's spelled Z-I-O apostrophe S. It's a renowned pizza parlor downtown Philadelphia, and get my favorite pizza. I want fresh basil, mozzarella, and extra sauce and extra crispy, almost burnt. And, you know, we just had a good time. I brought him back his pizza. We had a good time joking. He said, boy, we stayed up to 2 in the morning. And he said, I really don't want to go to sleep because, man, I don't want to wake up and find out this is a dream. And I said, look, okay, Mr. C. So he decided to go up and go to bed. And when we woke up that morning, early in the, you know, still in the morning, we woke up later in the morning. I said, how did you sleep? He said, well, man, I tossed and turned off and on, but I closed my eyelids. He said, but I really could not get comfortable in this bed because I've gotten used to the prison bed. He said, but I'll be fine. I'm going to see my bride today. And I, you know, we stayed up that morning. We ate breakfast together like we always would do. Mr. Fabio, who works out of a New York home, he's Columbia, from Columbia. He's been with the Cosbys for 30 years. He drove from New York. He calls him the boss. And he said, I'm driving from New York because Mrs. Cosby's at the New York home. He said, I'm driving Mrs. Cosby. I'm leaving New York to go cook the boss his breakfast. He loves when I cook him his breakfast. So he drove from New York to Philadelphia just to cook Mr. Cosby's breakfast for him. And he vowed to the Cosby that he would never retire until Mr. Cosby's freed. So when he got to the house, he hugged me and cried. And he said, thank you, Mr. Wyatt. Thank you, Mr. Wyatt. You freed the boss. You freed the boss. And I told Mr. Cosby, I said, we're going to get you out of here today. I'm going to put you in your SUV. And Nick, the guy from YC News and one of his guys, Hung, he's Chinese American, put Mr. Cosby in the SUV. The media saw me taking Mr. Cosby to the SUV. They said, Andrew, where is he going? Mr. Cosby said, tell them, I don't like this place anymore. I'm going back to prison. I'm going to see my wife. I can't have no more coffee, no more pizza, no more potato chips. And we, you know, look, we I get him to the car, and they get him, they drive him to New York City. And he's been there with Mrs. Cosby since that time. And she has not seen him in 2 years and 2 months.
It's unbelievable, Andrew. Now, a big question people have had, of course, Mr. Cosby is getting reacquainted with his family. He's 83 years old. He's been through this nearly three-year situation of being incarcerated. He is blind, as you say, 100% blind. Has he said what he wants to do with the rest of his life?
Yes, he said... Mrs. Cosby said he went into prison at 215, 220. He's almost 6'4", 6'3 and a half. And he basically is down to 173 pounds. And Mrs. Cosby said, no, I'm putting weight back on him. I never liked him and his football playing weight. And he said, I want to spend time with my family first. I don't want to really do nothing for the next 4 months. I haven't seen them in 2 years, 10 months. Andrew, you have been my only visitor. He said, but my goal is to get back and start doing comedy. He was calling me every morning, Scott, and I was recording our calls on different show ideas. He developed an entire show, television series, while in prison. He could not write anything down because of his blindness. He's like, when I write, I'm writing on the table everywhere. I can't stay on the paper. So he would just call and I would record him as he put the show together. He wants to go on a tour also to be an advocate for prison reform, for people's constitutional rights. We have a five-part docuseries that we're working on with a major production company and network that I signed 3.5 years ago for the Cosbys. So, Mr. Cosby's birthday, on his birthday, July 12th of this month, he will turn 84 years old. He's in great health. While in prison, as I always told Mrs. Cosby, I think prison saved his life because in 2019, October 2019, Mr. Cosby had to have two emergency surgeries because he had 90% blockage in his carotid arteries on the right and left side due to plaque buildup. So they removed the plaque, cleaned it out, because when I would visit with him, his eyes would be red. His blood pressure was always high. And sometimes his clarity wasn't there, but it was because of the oxygen. He wasn't getting the oxygen needed. He knew about this blockage before he went into prison. He just never told anyone. So that's done. That was done in 2019. He has had a physical. He's healthy. He's eating properly. He is getting his acupuncture almost twice a day. He's taking his herbs. He's drinking his Vital Wellness tea. It's spelled V-I-D-L-T, herbal teas. You know, getting healthy. And he wants to start doing interviews. He wants to, I mentioned him coming on your show. He said, I would love to do it. Tell him to give me some time. I just want to spend some time with my wife and my daughters, who I have not seen.
Well, relay the message. We certainly appreciate that, and we can't wait to hear from him. And it truly is an amazing moment. Andrew, I do have to ask you, though, and I'm sure, you know, Mr. Cosby being a very smart man, the fact that he wants to work, that's very interesting. But what do you think, because of the media we have today and because of the... you know, this doesn't go away. The conviction goes away, but the story is there. Do you think people will turn out as they once did? You know, Bill Cosby could fill a 2,000-seat arena, no problem, before all this happened. Do you think the crowds will be there after this mess?
I think so. Scott, when international media took private jets from London, even Germany, to be at the house. Hundreds of people at the house shouting, "I'm driving," and people are lined up on blocks with signs, cell phones. People want to see and hear from him. He's one of the greatest of all times, one of the true national treasures that we have left. You know, Richard Pryor is no longer here. Bill Cosby paved the way for all of those guys. And the comedians you see today, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, it would not be those guys if it wasn't for Bill Cosby. So I think people want to see Mr. Cosby. We've gotten so many calls from promoters want to book him international tours. We're just looking to win all options. As I always said, Scott, people talk about, okay, the insurrection is that raided the Capitol, but the true insurrection is on the media. They're the ones that stoke the fire. They're the ones that get people outraged. They're the ones that throw the rock and hide their hand. The media are the insurrectionists. And that's what that's the role that they have played against Mr. Cosby. They never put out the facts and truth. They took excerpts from his deposition. You know, they coined him as a monster. They never vetted the women. No one ever vetted the women to say who these women are. One of the accusers, I told Don Lemon of CNN, and he refused to even ask her a question. I said, the woman sitting on the set was saying she's one of a victim of Mr. Cosby. Her name is PJ Mastin. P.J. Mastin is the same woman that accused Marv Albert of biting her, that took him off out of sports for a decade. I was like, vet the women. What's wrong if a woman, I'm not saying bad things don't happen to a woman, but if a woman is making a claim that someone sexually assaulted her or raped her, a detective has to question her. When she goes and get a rape kit done, the doctors have to ask her what happened and examine her. So you need to tell me the detective and the doctors questioned her, but journalists can't question her, because that's called victim shaming or re-traumatizing a victim. No. What they have said today is that women don't lie. Believe the women. No matter what, believe the women. Don't question the woman. Don't vet the woman. But the media is wanting to say that, oh, well, it was just a technicality on him getting out. No, it wasn't. The Constitution is not a technicality, Scott.
No, it...
God, law, statute, and commandments were not given to us as a suggestion. Nor was the Constitution given to us as a suggestion.
Well, as many people said last week, whether or not, whatever you think of Bill Cosby at this point, you can't do to somebody what was done to him. You can't say, we're going to put you under a deposition that will never be unsealed, and then unseal it for a trial. So whatever people feel about Bill Cosby at this point, his rights were violated, and that's the way, you know, that cookie crumbles, and that's why he is out of prison today, which begs the question, would he have ever went to prison in the first place had that not been done? So, Andrew, is there going to be litigation against the state? I imagine pretty happy with them right now for overturning this conviction, but he did spend, almost 3 years in prison.
Look, Mr. Cosby was given a 2-year, 10-month unwanted vacation. So we're looking at all legal angles to sue Montgomery County. And we're looking at angles to ask the Bar Association to strip District Attorney Kevin Steele of his license, as well as Judge O'Neill and their cohorts. So we're looking at all of those angles and legal routes right now. Because what they did to Mr. Cosby, for a DA, Kevin Steele, who I guarantee you has cut many people deals because the crime did not hold the value to bring to prosecute. So it did not have the value to prosecute it. So you strike a deal with someone. He knew that this, for his former DA, the former DA, had given Mr. Kaiser a deal, and why. He had to foreclose on any criminal charges because Andrea Constant gave five different accounts that were inconsistent with a lot of untruths.
Now,
Kevin Steele to say that a person, a DA, cannot give a deal, that's ludicrous.
Well, to also clear this up for people, at this point, Mr. Cosby cannot be retried for these crimes. Is that correct?
That's correct. Ever again.
Now, also,
ever again,
something that was very interesting, during Mr. Cosby's incarceration, he was often referred to in magazines as a sexual predator, which would have been the case had he served his sentence and been released. This point, that no, he's not a sexual offender and does not have to register. Is that correct?
That's correct. Even media cannot call him rapist, convicted, sexual predator. They cannot use any of those adjectives. That's over and done with.
You know, Andrew, as we get to the final moments of this, and again, I always have thanked you for coming on the program, and I know you've been a big advocate for Mr. Cosby during this, and I thank you, and of course thank him, and we look very much forward to him coming on the program after all this time. But when you look back at this, did you ever think this day would really come? I know you wanted it to come, but did you think it would?
Yes. Look, we had oral arguments before the Superior Court, the first appellate court. It was a total of three judges in Harrisburg. And they were so disrespectful. Each side got 20 minutes to argue their appeal. And these justices interrupted us, they would not give us an opportunity to argue our appeal. They limited us to almost 17 minutes. When it came up for the prosecution, they were able to argue for 30 minutes, nonstop, no interruptions. So we always said that we were not going to get our win in that court. We knew that from the onset of going there, but we went. We have always said the way we're going to get our win is with the highest court in the land, in the state, and that's the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, because those judges are not swayed by politics. They're not swayed by old Q scores or social media, public opinion. They're forthright. They're honest. So, in my heart of heart, yes, I knew this day was going to come. Did I believe we were going to get our oral arguments heard so quickly? No, it was unprecedented for an appeal to be granted that quickly in less than 3 years. That's unheard of. You know, in less than almost 2 years, we get our appeal heard. Well, it was over 2 years. It was about 2 years, 3 months. So that's unheard of, unprecedented. And the reason why they heard our appeal so quickly, we found out, is that there's a guy named Charles Hicks who murdered a woman in the Poconos, who's in prison now, and they grossly abused the 404B instrument against him. It's called the Prior Bad Acts, where they brought three women in from Texas to say that he had physically abused him and he's this man. So, seven justices wrote five different opinions. And they their minds were boggled on how they handled the 404B. Because right next door in New Jersey, opposed to letting women or letting people come in into a case to say something happened 20, and they got recollection for or memories of something happened over 20, 30 years ago, even 10 years ago, you get to be put on a witness stand and cross-examined. Well, with the 404B, the way it's used in Pennsylvania, that's not the case. A person gets to just have a sworn affidavit done, a written sworn statement done saying that this happened, and they're taken for their word. They're not vetted. So they had problems with that, and that's why our appeal was heard so quickly. And the way those justices, like I said earlier, undressed the prosecution, we knew we were going to get the win. Now, did we believe that they were going to vacate his conviction? We didn't see that happening. We thought we would more so get a new trial. But for them to say, and I said it in all of my interviews when I did your show, Mr. Cosby had immunity. And I hope in my heart and spirit that they would grant him the immunity that he had and release this American citizen. And that's what they did.
The guest this morning has been Andrew Wyatt, spokesperson for Bill Cosby. And Andrew, like I say, we've been doing these interviews a long time now, and however people feel about this, you certainly have to be commended for what you did, because you have been loyal to Mr. Cosby, and I think he knows that, and the people who have listened knows that. Wish him a very happy birthday, and we want him to have time with his family, but we cannot wait to hear from him on this program in the very near future. Give him our best. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Scott, and I promise you, you won't be hearing my voice for the next interview. It will be Bill Cosby. I can promise you that.
Hey, that's, and I trust you. That is in the books. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, how about that for a booking? Bill Cosby. We're coming back in 10 minutes with a big surprise. Don't go anywhere.
Seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour? That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.